We want to spend just a few minutes this evening talking about a single concept that I believe is a biblical concept, otherwise I would not be talking about it this evening. And as we think about the topic that we're going to be talking about, I want you to stay with me as we build the concept based upon worldly aspects. You ever had this happen to you? In the middle of the night, there's a knock on your door, and it says, "Open in the name of the law." If they have probable cause, and they show you their badge, they have the authority to enter your home. If they don't have probable cause, they can always go to a judge and get a search warrant, which gives them the authority to come into your home and look for whatever it is they think is there. When you travel at the airport, as a result of 9/11, there's a whole new operation that exists. And they ask you for some type of government identification, be it your driver's license or a passport. "Show me your passport. I'm with the Department of Homeland Security. Show me your passport." Again, they can ask you because they've been given the authority to do that. At the White House, if I want to have dinner with the president, I've got to be invited. And so here's my invitation from Michelle Obama, inviting me to dinner at the White House. I don't have to be like that couple that snuck in because I have an invitation. I have the authority to go to dinner at the White House. I want to investigate your financial records. You think Bill Gates is going to let me do that? But if I'm with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, he certainly is going to let me because I have the authority that's been given to me to do that. To a couple, I pronounce you husband and wife. How can I do that? By the authority that's vested in me by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, I pronounce you husband and wife. Authority is given by someone for these things to take place. Your friend needs a loan, and I did this because I thought Juan might be here and he's our banker. See Juan at the bank and tell him I sent you and mention my name and he will treat you well. Implies I have a good relationship with Juan and implies that because of me, Juan will give you special consideration. See, all of these things that we've talked about, whether it is the police coming to your home, the Department of Transportation, or Homeland Security asking you for identification to enter an airport, or whether it's dinner with the Obamas, or whether it's being pronounced man and wife, all of these are given to that person that makes this pronouncement by someone else. They're given the authority to do that. Open in the name of the law. In the name of the Department of Homeland Security, show me your identification. Michelle Obama asked me to have dinner at the White House. The FBI sent me to investigate your records, Mr. Gates. By the authority of the Commonwealth, I pronounce you husband and wife. And tell them I sent you. Tell him that I sent you and he'll treat you well. These expressions demonstrate that there's an authority behind that request. There's an authority behind each of these requests. A strong relationship exists with that authority. I have the right to present a request, but only because someone delegated me the right and authority to do so. Without the name or identity of the one who authorized me, I really have no right to say, request, or hope for anything. Without the name or the identity of the one who authorized me, be it Homeland Security, the FBI, Security and Exchange, whatever, the state, I have no right to say, request, or hope for anything. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 22. Deuteronomy 18, 22. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. A prophet may say something, but if it doesn't happen, then it's not from the Lord. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, ye shall not be afraid of him. And David said in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 45, David said to the Philistines, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Matthew 28 and 19. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Wherein do we find religious authority? In whose name? 1 Corinthians 13, 16. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I'm thankful, Paul says, that no one can say that you were baptized into my name. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God. And in Colossians 3 and verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Where is the authority coming from that we have as Christians? In whose name do we find that authority? In the name above all names, we'll see in just a minute. And in John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And John 16, 23 and 24. In that day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive. And in Philippians 2, 9 and 10, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. There is only one name that has such authority, and that's Jesus Christ. All authority has been given to Him. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. You ask in my name, and that name is above every other name. To pray to God, we need authorization from someone who has access to Him. Who is that someone? It's Jesus Christ. A strong relationship with that authority. Do we not have a strong relationship? Is He not our brother? I have the right to present a request, but only because someone delegated me that right or authority to do so. Without the name or identity of the one who authorized me, I really have no right to say, request, or hope for anything. All authority resides in His name. He has authorized me so that I can have access to Him. When you pray in Jesus' name, there's authority behind what you are about to say. When you pray in Jesus' name, there's authority behind what you're about to say. It implies a relationship between you and that authority, Jesus Christ. It implies that Jesus has delegated to me the right to speak to the Father as His representative. It implies that because of Jesus, God will give me special consideration. When I pray in His name, there's authority behind that prayer. It implies that relationship we have with our brother Jesus. It implies that Jesus has delegated to me the right to speak to the Father. And it implies that because of Jesus, God will give me that special consideration. Father, thank you. Help us. Amen. It's in my own name, by my own authority. When we drop His name, the prayer is unsigned. It has no credible signature. Certainly my signature is not credible. Maybe yours is, but mine is not. The only credible signature is that of Jesus Christ. It has no authority to justify it being considered. I can't justify it any more than I can justify going to the White House for dinner without an invite or getting on to an airplane without having gone through the appropriate channels. It's presented in my own name. Without His signature, I really have no right to speak, request, or expect anything. Because everything is in His name. All authority has been given to Him. In the name of Jesus Christ, by His instruction, by the authority of His name, we ask you to consider. To consider those things that I want to petition you for. By His instruction, by His name, by His authority. John 14, 13 and 14, ask in my name. John 16, 23, 24, ask in my name. Ask and you will receive. Philippians 29 and verse 10, the name that is above every name. It is that name which gives me, all of us, access to God. Without it, neither we nor our prayers have access to God. Think about that just for a moment as we think about places around us where prayers occur, but they're not offered in Jesus' name. In my little town of Andover, there's a Hindu temple where they worship a monkey god. There's no concept of Jesus here. Are their prayers being heard? Temple Emmanuel, also in Andover, a Jewish synagogue. Their prayers are offered, but not in the name of Jesus. Over in Methuen was the closest mosque I could find. Those prayers are offered in the name of Muhammad. Where was all authority given? To Jesus. Not to Muhammad, but to Jesus. Couldn't find one of these nearby, but if you go downtown in Boston, there's the Church of Scientology. No prayers are offered in the name of Jesus. And then finally, over in North Andover, there's a Unitarian, Universal Unitarian congregation where prayers are offered, but it doesn't matter whether you're a Hindu or whether you're a Muslim or whether you're a Buddhist, it's all universally accepted. And so Jesus is not considered to have all authority there. So there are places nearby us that point out the fact that people do pray without invoking the name that has all authority. Well, how do you pray to God? With authority from Jesus? Without authority or in some other name? Think about those things as you think about your prayers in the closet, your private prayers. When you petition God, do you petition Him through that one avenue that we've been given, through Jesus Christ, that one name that has all authority, or in your public prayer? Is your petition through the authority that Jesus gives to us? Very simple, straightforward lesson. Short, I promise you that Mike will make up the time at some other appropriate time. I think I heard an amen to that, and that's a good way to end the lesson. But if there is someone here this evening that needs the prayers of the congregation, the prayers through the one name that has been given all authority, we would encourage you in whatever way that we can. Or if you happen to now understand what you need to do to become a Christian, we would ask you or encourage you in whatever way we can as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.